right, at this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. So if you want to quietly make your way to this way, Pastor Rachel has a bunch of fun stuff ready for you. By the way, if you are a guest this morning, if this is your first time to Asbury Church, we're so grateful that you're here. We have a little gift for you, and I believe they're on the tables on the way out, but it's just a little gift to say thanks for popping in, and so be sure to pick one up on the way out. There's one for every family that's here, and it's got some information about the church. And also, if you wouldn't mind just filling out a card, letting us know who you are so we can just touch base with you, because we want you to be a part of what's going on around here. So here's that. I'll put that there. I'm so grateful for my wife. She reminds me of so many wonderful things that I'm supposed to do. All right, for everybody else, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Are you excited? I said, are you excited?
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to look in God's Word? We believe around here that God's Word helps provide direction for our lives, and so we take time to look in it every week. So many years ago, I was a youth pastor. Okay, so as a youth pastor, excuse me, we used to do crazy things. Any of you ever heard of Chubby Bunny? Where you stuff marshmallows in your mouth, and you'd line kids up on the stage, and you give them a big marshmallow, and you tell them to tuck it in your cheek, and then they had to say, Chubby Bunny. And then if they could say it, you'd give them another marshmallow, and then another marshmallow. And then what would happen is they themselves become the Chubby Bunny, and they're trying to say Chubby Bunny. At Easter time, there's a variation of the game called Roadkill Chubby Bunny, where you use Peeps and ketchup. And I was thinking about playing that this morning. Who would like to play? Like going, no. So that's how disturbed I was as a pastor. And so they have now let me be a lead pastor, and we don't play Chubby Bunny anymore, and that's okay. But another game that we played that was always kind of fun was this game called Would You Rather? And what we would do is we'd give kids two options. What would you choose? Would you choose this one or this one? Now, I feel this is a little bit safer than Roadkill Chubby Bunny, so we're going to start with it this morning. Okay, y'all ready for this one? So I'm going to read a statement. Would you rather this or this? I want you to think about it for just a moment, and then I'll read it again, and I'll have you put your hand in the air if you would choose this one over this one. And just so you know, all of these things I think are potentially good rather than like Roadkill Chubby Bunny, which is a little disgusting. Okay, so but here's the first one. Ready? So help me this morning. Would you rather have a bowl of your favorite ice cream or a bowl of your favorite cereal? Okay, I want you to think about it. Okay, how many would you rather have a bowl of your favorite ice cream? If you're a favorite ice cream, put your hand up. Okay, look around. Okay, good. How many of you would rather have a bowl of your favorite cereal? Okay. All right, that's good. They must be really good cereal because how many know ice cream is better than cereal? Come on now. Yeah. Ice cream wins this morning. Okay, here's another one. Would you rather be given $1 million today or $2,000 a week for 10 years? $1 million today or $2,000 a week for 10 years? Just so you know, in 10 years, there's 520 weeks times 10,000, 2,000 would be like 1,200,000. So they're about the same. So real quickly, how many of you would take the $1 million today and go home? How many would take the $2,000 a week for 10 years? No, and the good news is there's no taxes on it. Come on now. Okay, let's do this one again. How many would take the $1 million today? Oh my goodness, they're just the smart ones. How many would take the $2,000 a week for 10 years? Wow.
What if you die before 10 years?
I know. See, I'm like looking at some people. I'm like going, you may not be here for 10 years. Take the $1 million now. Right. Okay.
Your estate gets it,
right? That's why we're doing the estate planning, Elsie, just for you. Now, okay, so here's the next one. Okay, one more just for fun. Would you rather have a house in the city or a house in the country? Okay, how many of you would have a house in the city?
Okay, this is always a fun one. Raise your hand high if you'd like a house in the city. Raise it high. Come on, Jonah. Oh, Ricky, put it up there. We have dos. Three, maybe three. How many of you would rather have a home in the country? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. Now, this is kind of fun. So you play these games. Would you rather? Because it gives us an opportunity to think, you know, what might be better for our lives? It may start with something like, would you prefer ice cream or cereal? And some of you are like going, dude, I am totally an ice cream person. That would be a better thing for me. $1 million today, $2,000 a week for 10 years. And we think, boy, what could happen? And we begin to imagine how it would affect our future, how it would make it better. Would we like a house in the city or a house in the country? And we think, okay, what would be better? Because right at the center of that question, of the questions of would you rather, is the sense of what would be better. You know what I've come to know about people? People want things better. How many of you would like to have a marriage that was just a little bit better? Not because it's bad. I better clarify that, because one of you are going to put your hand up. Yeah, I want it better. And then one's like, what are you saying? How many know there's always room to grow in our relationships? And how many would like our relationships a little bit better? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you recognize when it comes to finances, our finances probably could be done a little bit better? And how many think having better finances would be good? How many a better job? Right. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm not putting my hand up. Because that's like, I like my job, right? You know, we think about this, what would be better? And there's something, I think, within our hearts that longs for something better. So today we're actually going to begin a series that we're going to start and go through the next few weeks as a church, talking about a better tomorrow. Because you know what I believe fundamentally? That desire that you have is also a reflection of God's desire for you. Did you know that God wants you to have a better tomorrow than today? Did you know that? God wants to do stuff in your life, through your life, so that you might experience something better. Now, there's this Bible verse that I love. And it tells us this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says this, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose," that God works for the good. That in the midst of what we're going through, God is like, listen, even though it may be a difficult moment, a difficult season, a difficult time that you're in, I want to work something good out of it. Because God's heart is to help make our lives better. Now, by making them better, it doesn't always line up with what we may consider better. But understand, what God has for us is way better than we can imagine. And ultimately, the reason why Easter is so important to us is because it's the resurrection of Jesus that gives everybody an opportunity to experience a better tomorrow. So this morning, we're going to begin thinking about this idea of a new day. And I know we've all had moments. We've all had those times where we just wish we could start all over, that we could just have a new day. Anybody have those times where you're just like, I'm just going to go to bed and we'll just start tomorrow. It's a new day. I just need a new day. Ultimately, that's what Easter and the resurrection of Jesus is all about. So as we think about this idea of a new day this morning, here's my big idea. The resurrection of Jesus marks the beginning of a new day. Because of what Jesus has done, we all have the hope of a better tomorrow. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read from a passage that we find in Luke chapter 24. It's a fun little story, and it's in verses 13 through 32. I'm going to read the entire story, and then I'm just going to pull some ideas out of it. Now, just so you know, by the way, I'm so excited because this morning we have folks with us that have been a part of our Spanish campus. And Nelly is doing an amazing job because she's actually translating the message this morning. And so I have to talk not always too fast, but we're so grateful to have part of our Spanish campus here this morning. And so I was like, how do you say Happy Easter in Spanish? And I think I know it. Feliz Domingo de Resurrección. Amen. Yeah, see, that wasn't too bad. That's just, all right, so just in case you hear a little noise, like, what's that? Nellie's doing an amazing job. But let me read the text this morning from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. It says this, now that same day, and just so you know, that same day happens to be that first, that third day, that resurrection morning, that Easter Sunday. It says, now that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still with their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Okay, I love this story. There's so many wonderful ideas in this story. I just want to touch on a few of them real quickly. The first is this. Discouragement can cause us to move away from the place God wants us to be. I think that as you reflect on this story, you find out there's a bunch of people or these two disciples that have ended up in a place that they really weren't supposed to be simply because they had become so discouraged by all that was going on. I think as we go through life, we recognize that sometimes in our life, we experience things and we deal with struggles and we deal with things and our hearts get heavy and discouraged. And we're just like, oh, you know what? I'm kind of done with this. I don't know how many times I've met or I've run into people who are experiencing a tension or a struggle and they had expectations of what something was going to be. And it didn't happen or turn out as they hoped. And they said, okay, that's it. I am done. I just need to leave this place. I just need to go back to what is familiar. And many times in our lives, we end up in places God never really intended for us.
You see, discouragement can begin to move us away from the place that God wants us to be. Now, I recognize life does not always go as we plan or we desire. We deal with the frustrations and we deal with difficulties. Yet sometimes it happens to such a degree that we lose hope. Do you know what hope is? Hope is a confident expectation of the future because of God. Hope is being able to see that, you know what, there is a better tomorrow. Yet sometimes in the midst of what we're in, we see where we're at and we say, you know what, nothing good can come out of this. I'm just going to cut my losses and leave. And this is what these guys do. All the things that have happened with Jesus, and it started with all the excitement of the triumphal entry, but then Jesus is now executed. And then he's laid in a tomb. The Sabbath is over. It's a new day. And they're just like going, you know what, why stick around? And there's these rumors going around that the stone's gone, Jesus' body's gone. And they're like, what do we even make of this? You know what, I'm just kind of like done. Let's go back. We'll let stuff sort itself out. It's kind of interesting because sometimes I believe in our life, we come to the place of discouragement and sometimes we miss out on what God would have for us that is better simply because we give up too soon. You see, they really didn't realize that God was actually up to something even in the place they were. And I just want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at and what you're going through, God is up to something in the space that you're at. As I noted earlier, that God wants to work something for better. He wants to work something for good. Yet sometimes we hijack the process because our discouragement and we lose hope and we're just saying, I'm just done, and we walk away. Yet as we look in the story, we not only find that discouragement can cause us to move away from the place God wants us to be, we also see that Jesus cares enough about us to meet us along the way. You see, the reality is that people matter to Jesus. Even people who lose hope. Even people who are just like going, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm just going to walk. I'm going to go my own way. I'm done with the drama. I'll just do my own thing. Even when we miss the mark, he still cares about us. I want you to know, no matter where you are in your journey, in your life, and on the path that you're on, God cares deeply about you, and you matter to him. And you matter to him in such a way that he has great love and he has affection and plans and purpose for your life, even though he knows you got issues. Now, how many recognize here you got issues? How many got issues? Raise your hand. Like, would you rather have issues, right? And you're like, yeah, I got issues. How many sitting next to somebody you know has issues? See all the courageous people. Oh, yeah. You know, there's something about us as people. We have issues. And here's the thing. So in the Bible, there's a word that gets used that we don't like, and the word is sin, right? One of the understandings or pictures of what sin is the idea of missing the mark. So it's kind of like this picture of archery where you pull back the bow and arrow and you fire it and you don't even get near the target. Okay, how many of you have missed the target in your life at times? You're like going, I know I ought to do this, and you miss it. And what I think is interesting is we recognize we have issues. And like regardless of whatever standards God might have for our life, how many of you have a difficulty measuring up to your own standards? Like you're like going, I need to watch my mouth. Now, how many know you don't always watch your mouth? And you're like going, I know I shouldn't do this, but you find yourself doing it. And part of the reason is because there's something that's broken in each side of us. And here's the thing that's so amazing about the message of Jesus is that he knows every one of our moments. He knows what all of our issues are. He knows our history. He knows our worst moments, our worst mistakes, the stuff that we don't tell other people about. He knows all of that stuff. And you know what? He still loves you. And he still cares deeply about you. And he hasn't given up on you. Even though you may have given up on situations and moved yourself away, Jesus is like, I'm not giving up on you. Because he's come to meet us along the way. I love in this story because it tells us in the story that Jesus came up and walked along with them. And it's the simple reminder, did you know that in your life right now, God is closer to you than you realize? Like Jesus is closer to you than you realize. You may not be aware of him. This may be your first time in church. You may have been in church in the past. You gave up on it, went somewhere else, and you're here because it's Easter Sunday. But I want you to know that Jesus is closer to you than you realize because he cares so deeply about us. Yet sometimes we don't see how close he is. And I think it happens because life is hard. And I think there's things that keep us from seeing how close Jesus is to our life. I think sometimes we're just too busy. Anybody here struggle with busyness at times? You got like way too much to do and not enough calendar. And you're just like, you're busy, you're on the go. You're like going, I don't even get time to sleep properly or eat properly. I'm on the go. I am too busy. And our busyness sometimes gives us a bit of a tunnel vision. And we don't see the stuff beyond just what's in front of us. And sometimes we can miss how close God is to us, even in our lives, simply because we are so focused and we're so busy and we're just moving in this direction. Not only that, sometimes we miss how close Jesus is because of our brokenness, because of our hurt and our pain and our discouragement. And we're just like going, pulling in because the pain is so much. How many of you, when you get like sick, you're like, you just get cranky. You're just like, get away from me. And you just want to like bury your head and hide in a dark room. Yeah, come on now. Those are all the good people, right? Because you're just like, I'm tired. And sometimes in our brokenness, we just begin to retreat into ourselves. And our hurt becomes so loud that we can't hear anything else. Sometimes we miss God's nearness in our life, not just because of our busyness and our brokenness, but sometimes we're just too burdened. Sometimes it just feels like the weight of what life is on us is just, it's weighing us down, and it's just like, we don't even know how to stand up. But no matter where you're at, Jesus still comes closer than you realize and more than you imagine. And really, the reason he's come is to transform our lives by his grace. And this is my next idea. So the first is discouragement can cause us to move away from the place God wants us to be. Secondly, that Jesus cares enough to meet us along the way. But thirdly, Jesus comes to make sense of God's purpose in our time. That as Jesus begins to walk with them, he says, hey, I want to kind of help you. Because they were seeing their world in a certain way and the events of their lives. And he began to bring some clarity to it from God's word. Jesus wanted to help them to understand what God was up to. And he began to redirect them to the word. You see, we believe, as I said this earlier, that God has given us his word so that we may better understand who we are, the world we're in, the issues we have, and the way to find life. So for Luke, who's writing this story, one of the big ideas that he has is this idea of salvation. Because he recognizes there's a problem that we all have. We all miss the mark, and the problem is we can't undo our brokenness. What we can't undo, we can't take our words back. How many wish you could take words back? Right? Because you've said this stuff, and you're like, dude, I'd love to take that back, but I can't unsay what's been said. Not only that, some of you've made decisions, and you like look back on your life, and you're like going, oh my goodness, how could I be so dumb? I mean, you've had that moment. I look back, and I go, holy cow, you know how much money I spent on hockey cards thinking it was going to like make me millions? Idiot, right? You know, you're like going, no, what were you thinking? But we deal with all these things. And we can't undo our stuff. We can't get back what's lost. And because of it, we sometimes carry along a whole lot of shame. And we're just like going, you know what, it becomes the things that, you know what, we can't let people see these things because if they knew about them, they wouldn't love us. And we're embarrassed about things. And we're just like, oh my goodness. And it causes fear to rise up in our hearts because, boy, if people really knew what was in my history and my past or in my thoughts and my understanding, They want nothing to do with me. And so all of a sudden, this missing the mark begins to overpower our lives. The Bible talks about the power of sin, that all of us, we get trapped in it and we can't break free on our own. And the reason that Jesus came was that he might break the power of sin in your life and mine so that our lives don't have to be lived tied to our history. That there's a freedom, that what Jesus has come to do is to save us, to rescue us so that we might be free to live into the purpose God has for us. Because sometimes we're not experiencing a better tomorrow because we're so tied to what happened yesterday. Yet what Jesus does, and this is so amazing, this is why he died on a cross, was to pay the penalty of sin and break its power so that even though we may have a history, we have a better future. He not only came to rescue us, he came to redeem us. He came to say, hey, listen, no matter what you've done in life, and you think, you know, I've had these experiences, it's all torched, there's nothing good that can come out of it. He says, watch what I can do. I can make beauty come out of the ashes. And part of what salvation is, what Jesus does, is he longs to not only forgive us of our sins, but he's come to bring good to our lives, to redeem us, and ultimately to make us whole. You see, Jesus has come to make sense of God's purpose for us. Because God really does want you to experience a better life, a better tomorrow. He doesn't want you tied to what's happened yesterday. Yeah, he knows what you've done, but he says, listen, I still want to bring you life. The last thing I would note from the story. So discouragement can cause us to move away from the place God wants us to be. Yet Jesus cares enough to meet us along the way. And then it comes to make sense of God's purpose in our times. And lastly, welcoming Jesus transforms our perspective. See, Jesus has done all these things for these guys and they don't even realize it yet. And he's talking with them. And then it says this part of the story where he says, okay, so now I'm going to start going. Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to continue on. They've reached their destination. And he's like, okay, I'm going to keep going. And they're just like going, but wait, Jesus, why don't you come stay with us? It actually says that they urge him, stay with us. And part of the time in the culture, they didn't have hotels like we had. And so when a guest or a traveler was traveling and it became nighttime, it often became dangerous. And, you know, where do you stay? Where do you sleep? And so to have someone who would open their home and invite you in was part of the practice. And when you invited someone in, you are more than just having them take up a room in your house. You are actually inviting them into relationship with you. And you're saying, hey, I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be a part of my family. And what happens in the story is as they welcome Jesus in, all of a sudden, as Jesus is working in that home, they become aware of who he really is. And it changes their perspective. And I'm convinced this is what happens in our lives. Because Jesus is closer than we imagine. And he wants to make sense of stuff in our lives. But for our eyes really to be open, for us to begin to see a better tomorrow and be able to move forward, what we have to do is we actually have to welcome him and make room for him in our lives. Because when we do that, he begins to change the way we see the world around us. The resurrection of Jesus, it really does mark the beginning of a new day. So that, you know, we don't have to continue to deal with the darkness or without hope or to stay stuck in our discouragement. But because of Jesus, he's like, listen, I've come that you might have life, life to the full. And my prayer this Easter is that as we stop and we remember and we celebrate again what it is our Savior has done for us, that he has died and risen again, my prayer is that it would awaken something in each one of us that we would begin to have hope for a new day. That, you know what, our tomorrows don't have to look like our todays. That they can be better, that we have hope because of what Christ has done for us. And part of that is how do we begin then to experience the new day? I think, you know, even as you look at the two disciples here, there's three things they do. Number one, they choose a new direction. See, their whole life was moving away from Jerusalem. They're like, we're done with this. We're going to move in this direction. But the moment Jesus became alive to them, as they realized that he was alive, that he had power, they said, you know what? We need to go in a new direction. And so they headed back to Jerusalem. And one of the things that I think is so important, if we're going to experience the new day, if we're going to experience the better tomorrow, then what we need to do is we need to change our direction. We need to allow the life of Jesus to change the way we live, to change the way we walk, to be more than just ideas or more than just a story about Jesus. All of a sudden, we recognize, you know what? He died, but he is alive. And because he's alive, you know what? I need to live differently because I've welcomed him in. Not only that, when they went back to the community of believers. They got together with the other disciples, and they're just like going, dude, this is so amazing. This is what happened. And they lived life in community. Now, the book of Luke and the book of Acts go together. And when you get to the book of Acts, you'll find this out. Do you know how God's power gets manifest in our lives? It's through the Spirit that is working in and through his people. Do you know how transformation takes place in our lives? It's not just the decisions that we make in the fact that, well, I'm going to choose this and this. It's who are we surrounding our lives with? And I think the way we begin to experience a new day is all of a sudden we become a part of a community. Now, I've been a part of church for years. I'm a pastor's kid. That explains a whole lot of my dysfunction. I grew up in church, and you know what I know about churches? They are filled with messy people. How many know that the church is filled with imperfect people? How many know sometimes people like to criticize the church because they're like, they're hypocrites, right? How many know everybody's a hypocrite? You know, how many know everybody's got issues, right? And what Jesus does, Jesus doesn't make everybody perfect all at once. He's working good stuff out in our lives, and it takes time. And we still got issues that he's working through. But God's people, his community is a grace to help us move forward, because this is what I know. Life is hard. And if you're trying to get through life alone, you'll find out that life will run you over. And what we need is we need people to surround us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to build us up, to cheer us on, to stand with us in the midst of difficulty. That this is why even this morning as a church, you know, as Pastor Dwayne, he's getting ready to take off, and we're like, well, hey, let's just gather around him and pray. And some of you are like going, this is a weird church. They're all coming up and they're putting a hand on a shoulder and stuff like that, and they're praying. The reason we do it is because we want everybody to know, hey, you're not going through this alone. We're with you. We're praying with you. Because for us to experience a new day, it's about not only a new direction, but it's also about new community. We have to make sure that we're around people to help grow. And I want to just encourage you, hey, this may be your first time here. Come back for a bit and see how this stuff begins to change your life and encourage you and build you up. The last thing I would note, if we're going to experience a new day, we need new direction, new community, and lastly, a new confession. A new confession. Now, I love when these boys come back and they get with all the disciples, and this is their statement. It is true. The Lord is risen. They said it. It is true. The Lord is risen. There's something that happens when we begin to speak life over our situations. See, some of you, you're facing difficulty and you're facing challenge, and you begin to get that feeling that, oh my goodness, this is so big, it's going to overwhelm and destroy me. Hey, guess what? We may face difficult things, but how many know that there's one who loves us who's greater than the things that we fear? That Jesus not only died, but he rose again, and he is alive, and he has the power even over the things that overwhelm and threaten to destroy us. It is true. He is risen. And what I want to challenge you to do, even as you begin, because this is what I'm going to believe with you. I'm believing that God is going to begin to better our tomorrows today. And what I want to challenge you to do, even as you go through this week, is as you run into those bumps and you run into those challenges, that you say, it is true, He is risen. It may be a difficult moment. It may be a difficult day. It may feel as though this thing is going to overwhelm me. But you know what? It is true. He is risen. I want you to practice this morning. Everybody say, it is true. He is risen. Okay, now say it with motion and feeling. It is true. He is risen. So when you run into the bumps of life, you know what we have to remind ourselves? We need a new confession. It is true. He is risen. This may be bad, but He's still good. This may feel like this is going to sink us, but guess what? It's true. He's risen. And if He can raise from the dead, you know what He can do even for us? Even though something may look like it has died in my world, because of His grace, He can make things alive. When it looks like there's no good that can come out of anything, God will say, listen, hey, just watch me, trust me, believe me, I will bring good. And we say, okay, it's true. He is risen. You see, the resurrection of Jesus marks the beginning of a new day. I want to invite Rachel to come on up. She's going to play. She's going to lead us in a moment. I'm just kidding. Just figure I'd just overwhelm her for a moment. So this is what we know as we look at this story. Discouragement can cause us to move away from the place God wants us to be. Hey, let me ask you, how's your heart? How's your heart? So did you know right in the middle of the word encouragement, like when you look at its etymology, how it's created, right in the center of the word, the C-O-U-R, kur, means heart. Like right at the center of the idea of encouragement or discouragement is the idea of heart. And I ask you this morning, how is your heart? Maybe life's been really hard lately. And maybe there's things you've been bumping up against and it just feels like, you know what, there's this weight, there's this burden, and you're just like going, you know what, dude, my heart is heavy, my heart is tired. Heart is discouraged. I want you to know that you have to be careful because sometimes when our hearts get in that place, it causes us just to say, okay, I'm just going to start wandering in this direction and wandering in that direction. And many times people get sucked into things that end up ruining their lives because their heart has become discouraged. And some of you, it may be that because of the discouragement of your heart, you found yourself in a way and you're just like going, you know what? There's things you regret. There's things that you're like going, you know what? Oh, you probably beat yourself up a bit. And I want you to know this morning that even though you may have done all of that, Jesus still cares for you. Like no matter where you are, and He's closer now to you than you realize. See, some of you are here this morning and you're just like, okay, you thought you were just coming because someone invited you. But there's an aspect where Jesus has been kind of walking with you and He's like, hey, I want you to hear what has to be said this morning. Because you've been dealing with this discouragement. And I just want you to know, if you're in a discouraged place, if you feel like, oh my goodness, and you may feel like I have gone too far. I have done too much dumb. I want you to know, Jesus loves you and He hasn't given up on you. And you matter to Him. So much so that He was willing to give His life in order to set you free from the power of sin so that you don't have to live under the cloud of your history. You don't have to live under the cloud of your hurts. You don't have to live under the cloud of your habits. He's come close. And He wants to show Himself to you, and he wants you to know a new day. He wants you to experience a better tomorrow. And what we have to do is we have to decide if we're willing to let Him in. If we're going to be willing to say, okay, Jesus, I want to make room for you in my life. Because when we begin to make room for him in our lives, it begins to change us. It changes the way we see. It changes the way we interact with our world. And he does something for us. He gives us a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift of forgiveness. And I love this because you bring your junk to him and you say, Lord Jesus, here's my junk. This is what I've done. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And you know what he says? Yes. I forgive you. No matter what, because I forgive you. And he takes our junk. He says, you know what, this stuff, I'm removing it from you. This is not stuff you have to carry anymore. I did all of that. He carried it on the cross. That's why he went to the cross. In order that you and I might know life and freedom. And I think there's no better way to celebrate Easter than by making room for Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you've been in the church for many years. Maybe you've been away and you've come back. This may be your first time. But say, Lord, I just want to make room. And Jesus, I want to make room in my life for you. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. Because when we do that, he begins to change us. And he gives us the opportunity to experience a new day. The resurrection of Jesus, it marks a new beginning. May we welcome him this morning. Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the hope we have. Lord, you gave your life so that we might know life. And God, even as we stop and we think about where our heart is at, Lord, I know in this room there are those that are just, their hearts are heavy, their hearts are discouraged. Lord, I know there's some that are battling with frustration and anger. Lord, there are some that are just, Lord, the shame just seems so great. Yet, Lord, I thank you that you have come near to us even this morning because, Lord, you want to change us. And so, Lord, we choose to make room for you. If you're here this morning and maybe you're in the place where your heart is heavy and discouraged, and you're like, oh, you know what, I need the goodness and love and grace of God changed my heart. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. See that hand and that hand? Those ones, thank you. Those ones, thank you. Lord Jesus, you see these hands and you see these hearts. Lord, these are people you care so deeply about. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us and to give us new beginnings. And Lord, as we move from this Easter, we recognize, Lord, it's a new day. Because it is true. You are risen. You are alive. And you are at work in and through our lives. And God, I speak blessing over each one here. Father, I pray that even as we go through this week, that, Lord, we would know your nearness. God, I pray that you would sensitize our hearts. Lord, in those times where we're way too busy, Lord, where we deal with our brokenness, or we just feel too burdened, Father, I pray that God, your grace would meet us so that we might become aware of how close you are. And may we boldly speak and say that it is true. He is risen. God, may your resurrection, may your life transform our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Aren't you grateful we serve an amazing God? How many are ready for a new day? Okay, try it again. How many are ready for a new day? Come on now. You guys got quiet on me for a second. That's okay. I need to ask about the ice cream again. Yeah, here comes the ice cream people. Hey, good news, folks. There's ice cream outside these doors. You just have to go find it. It's not on our property. No, I'm just kidding. Can I just tell you something? I believe what God wants to do in your life and mine is lead us to a better tomorrow. Can I challenge you to come the next few weeks because we're going to really talk about, okay, so how does God begin to change our lives so we can experience a better tomorrow? Because what I want you to know is you're a participant in the transformation of your life. That means it doesn't just happen because you pray a prayer or you wish stuff away. You begin to act your faith out in participation or working with what Jesus is doing through his Holy Spirit in your life. And so we're going to work on that in the next few weeks. So can I please encourage you, come on back next week. Because next week's going to be really good because we're going to talk about chaos and how to turn chaos into beauty. How many ready for a little beauty in your life? Some of you are like, I'm sitting next to my beauty, and that's okay. But I want you to know God wants to bring beauty to our lives. And we're going to begin talking about that next week and talking about how do we begin to do this. But hey, I want you to know we love you. We're so grateful that you're here. Would you stand with me? We're not going to sing because my voice is shot. And Rachel is doing amazing. Thank you. But I want you to know we love you. We're praying and we're believing with you for God to do amazing things. So as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in his strength and his might. Have a fantastic day celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. Feliz Domingo de Resurrección. And I'm trying. Dude, man, that just, it's like speaking Spanish with a Canadian accent. It's almost romantic. But hey, you guys have an amazing week in him. God bless you. We'll see you all soon. Please hug a few necks on the way out and have a great Easter. God bless.